Confidence is found through humility, and arrogance is something that you obtain through a lack of confidence. And I say that because I was a very arrogant person because I was so insecure, but God taught me confidence, and he taught me that while I was in prison.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of This Is My Story. Today, I have a new friend of mine. His name is Ronnie Hopkins, and I'm super excited to introduce you to him. I'm honored because Ronnie is actually an employee for Christian Healthcare Ministries, one of the sponsors here on our podcast. And so we're going to dive in a little bit to CHM and get his take, find out a little bit more about his role there and their ministry. And then also want to thank Word of Life Camp Ministries and the Bible Institute, camps and Bible Institutes all around the world. And so if you're looking for a Bible degree or you're looking for a place to send your kid to a Christian camp that is top notch, check out the links below for both of those. And this podcast is about you. It's about your story. And ultimately, it is about the heavenly work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Without him, without his mercy and his grace, we would be lost. I would be lost. And I hang everything in my life, my success, not just outwardly, but inwardly in my soul. I owe it all to Jesus and his faithful, good, and perfect work in my story. Although I am imperfect, his work has been perfect and continues to be so. But I understand that there are times in our lives and maybe in your life where it seems like God is far. And I'm excited today because Ronnie had many times where he felt like God was far. And all the time God was there. So Ronnie, my good friend, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I really appreciate what you do. Like I told you when we talked before, I've listened to the podcast, and I love how you give people the platform to not talk about themselves, but to talk about God and their lives and about Christ and about the change and about the effect that Christ really has on our lives when we allow him to. And I just want to thank you for inviting me on today. Yeah. It's an honor to be here. So I grew up in a kind of broken home. My mom was sick my whole life. I remember, you know, when I was very young, she was 100% blind from diabetes. It had taken her vision 100%. She ended up getting a little bit of that back, but she was just really sick. My dad was an addict. He was into crack cocaine and alcohol and just about anything that he could get his hands on. And they had separated. So, you know, I grew up immediately around addiction. I grew up around just less than great situation. And as I got older and older, things kind of got worse. My brother, who was 5 years older than me, he started to use drugs and alcohol as well. And my mom, I don't ever want to say anything bad about my mom. She was a great mom. She had it very tough, but, you know, she dealt with her own addiction issues with her prescription medications, and she just was always in so much pain. And I really think she was trying to numb that pain and just trying to do the best that she could. With all that being said, she too struggled with addiction and different things like that. And
what was it like for you growing up in there? Just
it's weird, but it was kind of normal at the time. Okay. Looking back, obviously it's not normal, but at the time it was just like, this was my life. I was just used to kind of the chaos. I remember one of my earliest memories was of somebody driving by, and we lived in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, and somebody had driven by and shot at our house because of something my dad did. You know, that's one of my earlier memories. So, you know, while looking back, that's crazy, but it was just kind of, it was kind of normal. And I think that's,
But did you feel any love, or did you feel a sense of lostness even as a kid?
I knew my mom loved me. I knew my family loved me. My dad, when he was there, he loved me to death, but my dad was kind of abusive towards my brother. So it made me feel kind of weird. You know, my dad treated me like the golden child and was very, very mentally and sometimes physically abusive to my brother. So it was, it was a very weird position to be in, but I always felt loved by my mother. My grandmother was always there. I always felt loved by her. My aunts and uncles that were always around, I always felt loved by them. And I always knew that they supported us. Like, that's why we ended up in West Virginia, was to be close to them. I was actually born in San Diego, California, but due to my mom's health issues, we moved down to West Virginia. So yeah, I felt loved, but the older I got, I realized the chaos, the abnormality, that this wasn't what everybody lived. You know what I mean? And I always believed in God, to kind of go back to that. I always believed in God. I was saved at a young age in the basement of a Baptist church in West Virginia. I said a prayer. I mean, I don't know that I actually had a relationship, but I said a prayer. I believed, but I never had relationship. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, all that to say, I started to feel like God cheated me. Like, I felt cheated by God. And you know, I didn't have my dad around. And then, you know, at the age of 15, my mom actually ended up passing away from her illness. She was 41 years old. And my dad was in prison. At the time, he had finally, you know, committed some crimes to get him locked up long enough to where he was in prison. So, you know, at this point in time, I just started to totally feel lost. And I didn't know what was going to come next. But, you know, it's funny. Even up to this point, you know, I was starting to really dabble in heavy drugs. I was smoking marijuana and I was trying some psychedelic type stuff and drinking all the time. And I was really starting to veer really, really off the path. And when my mom passed away, my aunt and uncle, God sent them into my lives and into my life. And they've been like parents to me for a really long time since my mom passed. So as I've mentioned to you, God really gave me the opportunity to be better at that point in time, because he sent two godly people into my life. My aunt and uncle are very strong Christians. My uncle he's the picture of, you know, even to this day, he's what I want to be in a man. My uncle follows the Lord. He's a hard worker. My aunt is just, you know, so he gave me that, right? He showed me, these people love you. They took me in. They want you, but I had this anger inside of me that I chose to hold on to. And I just held on to that anger and this pity. And I just felt sorry for myself over the course of a couple of years living with my aunt and uncle in West Virginia. They were building a Christian retreat. It was this awesome experience. Some of the best years of my life were down there. But I still harbored this anger, you know, this anger at God and the feeling of, I'm cheated. I've been cheated out of a childhood and a father and a mother who passed away. And over the course of 2 years, I lived with my aunt and uncle until I found a way to have my brother take legal guardianship of me. He was 5 years older than me and he was living in Ohio. And I knew that he would let me party. You know what I mean? And that was always in the back of my mind. Like, I wanted to leave West Virginia, where it was, you know, strict. They were Christians. They were loving. But to me, because I was so angry and just holding on to this pity, you know what I mean? I keep going back to that because that's what it was. I just felt sorry for myself.
Yeah.
So I got my brother to take guardianship of me, and that was pretty much the beginning of the end. I was 17 years old, and I dropped out of high school when I got there. About 6 months into living with him, I was skipping school every day. I finally got caught and I just dropped out of school. And I started partying every day. Whatever I could get my hands on, I just started doing it. And, you know, that lasted over the course of about, you know, almost 15 years until I was about 30 years old. And at this point in time, I had just continued to go down this path of just major destruction. And every time I would do something, it was, you know, I always said to myself, you know, you deserve this. You never had a childhood. You never had a childhood. This is me having fun. God cheated me. And I would say that physically to myself time and time again to help myself feel better about what I was doing, because in my heart and in the back of my mind, I knew it wasn't right, because I did know Jesus. I did know God. And I did know that this wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. But at the same time, I allowed this anger and this self-pity to just fuel me. Within the course of about 18 months, I started doing methamphetamines, selling methamphetamines, and then manufacturing methamphetamines. And when I was 30 years old, January 20, 2014, I was arrested for manufacturing methamphetamines and child endangering, a felony one in the state of Ohio. You know, within the jail system, I couldn't even stay out of trouble. And I ended up in solitary confinement. And it was in solitary confinement where I was going to be going to sentencing for my crime. And I always say, every time I tell my story, I started playing Let's Make a Deal with God. And it was a situation where I said to God, I said, if you get me out of this, and if you get me either to where I get to go home, or get me a lesser sentence, or whatever, if you get me out of this, then I'll trust you. And I'm in the jail cell. I'll never forget it. Cell 13, cell block 2A. And I'm trying to make this deal with God. I'm like, you know, just do this for me and I'll trust you. So I go to trial the very next day, and the judge doesn't let me go. The judge doesn't give me, you know, what I wanted. And I ended up getting sentenced to 3 years mandatory prison time, which means, you know, you don't get any good days. You don't have any chance of early release. You're doing 3 years day for day. You're staying in. And when the judge sentenced me, you know, I cried a little bit because I had never been in trouble before. I had always skated by not getting in trouble. So I got sentenced to 3 years in incarceration, and I cried. And then as they were leading me back to my cell, like, I felt nothing. And now looking back, that nothing that I felt was actually the peace that God was going to give me, that he was starting to give me. And they're leading me back, and it's like you're shackled from your waist to your feet and your hands. And just, I can remember, I can hear the chains clinking as I'm walking down the catwalk to cell 13, cell block 2A. I can hear it as I tell this story. And I felt nothing. Like, it was just, I thought I was just numb from the emotion of everything that had just happened. But again, looking back, it was peace. I just never felt that before, you know? Yeah. And as they put me back in my cell, I was just trying to feel something. And I remember I punched the wall just to try to get some kind of emotion, and nothing. And then I'm just so confused right now. Like, I just got sentenced to 3 years in prison. I should be feeling something.
Yeah, it's almost like you're processing, like, is this real? Is this, like, I've been caught before. I was just about to be in jail, made this deal with God. And then all of a sudden I'm here. And reality is, like, taking a little bit for it to sink in, huh? Where you're just starting to punch the wall to be like, is this really where I'm going to be?
Right. Yeah. Like, I just wanted to feel something because I didn't know what was going on. And they had these little radios built into the wall, and you got like five stations on it. And I'll never forget, it was on a country station. It was playing a Dierks Bentley song, I'm Getting Drunk on a Plane. And I didn't want to hear that song. So I hit the button, and I just happened to hit the button 2 to 3 times, and it landed on 95.5 The Fish, which is our Christian radio station here in the Akron area. And it was playing Crowder, How He Loves Us. And it was just totally involuntary. I just fell to my knees, and I reached my hands up to the sky. I had a little sliver of a window, like a, you know, maybe a 18-inch window that I could see the sun shining outside. And I reached my hands up to that window, and I said to God, audibly, I said to him, I'm going to trust you anyway. And tears just started flowing down my face. Mm-hmm. And I immediately felt, and now, you know, it had to be the Holy Spirit. I felt the presence of Jesus. I felt the presence of God in that cell with me. And everything changed from that point on. Immediately, I just felt different. And I started to act different. I started to change the way that I talked because I had a very dirty mouth. And they sent me back to, you know, the reality of the story is that's beautiful. You know what I mean? I just accepted Christ. I know that now that, you know, I'm going to follow God, even though I didn't get my way for the first time in my life, I'm going to follow Christ. But the reality of the situation is that now I have to go to prison. You know what I mean? I'm still in county jail at this point of my journey. And they put me back in general population while I would wait for my ride to prison, which usually takes about, you know, 7 to 10 days after your sentence. And all the same guys were around me, and they immediately saw a change in me, and they asked me, what happened to you? And I was able to tell them. But The point of that is that it started immediately. The change in me was instant because it was so real. This was my rock bottom. And one of my mottos is, I stole it from somebody, I don't remember, but rock bottom is a pretty good place to build a foundation. And that's like where my foundation started. That's where my foundation started. So I get transported to prison and I get acclimated. And the very first thing that I say to myself is that, you know, God has given me this chance. He's changed my heart. He's changed the way that I think. I no longer feel like a victim. I'm finally, and that was the change. That was like the thing, the switch that flipped, was that the Lord showed me that it wasn't about what happened to me. Everybody's had something happen to them. Everybody's experienced trauma. Everybody's experienced bad times in their lives.
Yeah, because we live in a broken world, and a lot of people think that it's just their world that's broken and it's not fair. Right. And you're saying, look, not all of us have gone through unfairness. That's what a sinful, broken world is.
Absolutely. And for the first time in my life, I saw that. It's not about what happens to us. It's about how we react to it. And he revealed that to me. So I get to prison. And like I mentioned earlier, I had dropped out of high school at the age of, I was right around 18 when I dropped out my senior year. As soon as football season was over, I was done. I dropped out. And so I knew that if I was going to be better, first of all, I knew that if I didn't put the work in to be better, then I wasn't going to deserve a second chance from my family, from my kids that I had at this point already, from anybody. So if I wasn't willing to invest in me, then I couldn't expect anybody else to trust what I said when I got out of prison. So I signed up for GED classes and I started studying, and I knew that I was going to struggle in math. So I found a guy to tutor me, and every single day after lunchtime, I went and I worked on math for an hour to an hour and a half every day. And finally, I went and took my GED. And this was, of course, right after they changed the test to where it used to be super easy. This was like the second year where they changed it, where it was super hard. And I worked.
Yeah, bro. I'm right there with you on math. Was not my best class for sure.
Yeah, it's hard, man. And then you start putting letters and all this stuff in there. I'm like, come on, man. Is this really math or is this English?
I think somebody's confused here. I think I'm being punked.
Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's a you problem. So I start working and I take the GED and I scored so high. I passed the first time and I scored so high that the education section of the prison came and asked me to start tutoring other inmates. So I did. So that was my job, was to be a tutor. So I started teaching other inmates on English and social studies and math, of all things. I'm teaching the GED math class. And it's just such a testament to where God can take something that, you know, is so broken and something that I've never been good at, math, to where he shows me, listen, if you just commit yourself, if you just put in the work, then I'm going to help you get to where you need to be. So here I am, for the first time in my life, taking a leadership role by teaching other people. And I signed up for college. They offered a associate's program where you get an actual real life associate's degree from Ashland University, a college here in Ohio. There's a couple of, prereqs that I had to take to qualify for it, but I signed up and I started taking courses, and I was released in 2017, and I was still in the midst of studying for my associate's degree. So I got out and I continued to work towards my associate's degree. And about a year later, I walked across the stage at Ashland University and I received my associate's degree. But along that journey of education is where another one of those switches was flipped. The end of the first year or semester or something, you get your report card from the college, and they handed me my report card, and they handed with it came a letter, and it said that I was on the dean's list, and I was blown away.
Yo, that's cool, dude. Dean's list.
Yeah. Yeah. I made the dean's list, and it was like, that was the spot. And I heard God say to me, not audibly, but, you know, in my heart, I heard God say, you're worth the work that it's going to take for you to get better. You're worth the work. And that was the first time in my life that I ever felt like I was worth what it was going to take for me to be anything other than what my dad was, what my brother was, anything more than the drug addict that's going to be in and out of jail your whole life and end up in the same path as your dad. It was the first time in my life that I ever felt like I was worth being something different than what I had been to this point. And that is what kind of, that's what the Lord kind of used to drive me to continue on that path. Because, you know, it would have been real easy for me to get out and be like, whatever, I don't need to finish college. But I did. I was determined. And I finished college and I walked across the stage.
You said that word victim. And, you know, oftentimes that's how we do respond to brokenness, is that we, with that self-pity. And then we also blame God. And all that focus gets put on ourselves. And we, when we become hyper-focused on our personal success or our happiness, it drowns out really the needs of anyone else. And so that's why, I mean, it's understandable why someone goes to drugs or why someone has that substitutionary savior, because the pain is hard. The anger is too unbearable, right? But God is good and God is faithful.
So faithful.
So good, man. And you can see God's faithfulness in your story. But I thought it's God has this great sense of humor. And in almost every story that I interview, I hear these parts of people's stories where it's almost like God does have a sense of humor, and, or he,
I truly believe that.
Yeah. Like when you said, God, I'll follow you. Just don't let me go to prison. If you get me out of here, I'll follow you. And then God's like, well, I don't think
you're going to do both.
You're going to do both.
I need you. And I look at that as his time for me to detox, for me to find. So there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Confidence is found through humility, and arrogance is something that you obtain through a lack of confidence. And I say that because I was a very arrogant person because I was so insecure, but God taught me confidence, and he taught me that while I was in prison. He taught me confidence because he taught me that I didn't always have to be, I didn't have to be everything that I thought I had to be, because literally I'm nothing short of Jesus Christ. But being able to humble myself before Christ and say, you know what, I got nothing short of you.
Yeah.
I learned confidence. You know, one of my favorite verses, I actually have it tattooed on my arm, is John 3:30. You know, when John the Baptist was baptizing people, and people were just coming to follow Jesus, and they said, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we should look for? And he made the comment about, you know, I can't even strap his sandals. He said, he must become more and I must become less. That is the center of my story, because I always wanted to be popular, and I always wanted to be the person that everybody liked. And I would do anything for that. And even outside of my morals or anything that I believe. But now, through Jesus Christ, I do have a lot of people that look to me for leadership. And I do have a lot of friends, real friends. And it's important that, again, Jesus is at the center of all of it. And without him, there's nothing. So that's like my, I don't want to say it's a life verse, because all of them are important. But at the center of my story is John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. He must become more and I must become less. And because he became more in my life, I was able to go from a liar, a thief, an addict, a manipulator. I was able to transition through Jesus Christ, showing me humility and confidence and love, and showing me all of these things. I was able to go from somebody who was deplorable to somebody who's respectable, to somebody who you would not want your kids around, to somebody who parents were sending their kids to church to hear me speak and to just to experience time with our church. And that can only be done through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yep. So, amen. Well, you know, you mentioned a couple of things, going from addict and going from thief to, you know, somebody who's respectable and trustworthy. How about just on your inner story, you know, dealing with so much anger. You know, talk to me about how the Lord has really set you free from your past emotions and your past pain, pain emotionally that you felt, whether it be anger or be depression or loneliness.
Yeah.
And in what ways has he renewed all that for you?
Yeah. So I mentioned my aunt and uncle earlier, and as soon as they saw the first time, you know, they had kind of distanced themselves from me because they knew where I was at. And as soon as they started to see a change in me, they started to support me, and they came to visit me a couple of times a month. And my aunt always quoted, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 is very popular. It's like a coffee cup verse, but to me, it's another very important verse to me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. My aunt always quoted that to me, and it was just noise, you know what I mean, for a long time. But the way that God took away, so I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of feelings that I was abandoned, and I had a lot of anger inside of me. And the way that the Lord took that from me was that verse, because once that verse was real to me, I realized that, you know, God's plan, nowhere in that verse does it say God's plan is perfect for me. His plan's not perfect for my part of the plan isn't perfect. Sometimes there's going to be parts of our life that aren't perfect, but we can only grow outside of the comfort zone. We can't grow in perfect situations. You know what I mean? He says that he knows the plan. It doesn't say that I know the plan. So when I was able to see the fact that God has a plan for my life, God's plan for my life is real. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. It doesn't say your life is going to be easy. So when I finally realized that, that anger that I had inside of me subsided a lot, because and to kind of expand on that, had I not experienced what I experienced when I was a kid, I don't know that I would be able to connect with the people that I'm able to connect with today. My addiction plays a part to the people that I'm able to connect with. My childhood, I can connect with some people that had a similar childhood as I had. And all of these things together kind of culminated to me inside being able to, and I won't even say let go of, but give to God the feeling of anger, the feeling of sadness, the feeling of, man, why did my mom have to die at the age of 16? You know what I mean? All of those things started to go away as soon as I started to give them to him and realized that that plan is a promise, but it doesn't promise me a life of ease. And I don't think anywhere in the Bible, you know, I know nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that our lives are meant to be easy, but it does say that our lives are meant to be good. And I had to find the difference in that. You know what I mean? For a long time, I'm like, well, God, it's supposed to be good, but this isn't good. Why does this happen? Why does my mom, you know, this, why is my dad? Why is my brother? And in my addiction and in my separation from relationship in Christ, I couldn't see it. But the closer I got to Christ, the more it was revealed to me that, you know, things happen. And again, it goes back to, it's not about what happens in our lives. Now, those things are important. My mom, losing your mom is traumatic, but it's not about losing my mom. It's about how do we react to losing your mom? How do you react to losing your job? How do you react to, you know, anything? It could be anything. It's not about.
It's almost like we're called by God to be responsible. Like, what is the responsibility that we have? And that word, you know, the Bible says that we will each be held accountable for our lives. And, and we also understand that, you know, God isn't the one causing the evil. You know, he allows us to make decisions. He allows us to make choices, and we can go here, we could go there, we could have these friends, and we could do these things. And if we choose to go away from God and explore these other things to try to fulfill us or to try to be a band-aid over all of this pain outside of God, those things will be destructive. And that's God's promise, is that sin leads to destruction. Stephen Covey wrote this in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective Leaders. He said, responsibility is the ability to respond. And what I'm encouraged with your story is that you took that ability that you had, and for the first time in your life, maybe it was because of the space being in prison, but with his spirit. And in that moment, his spirit starts to do a new thing, a new work that we otherwise might not have heard because we were too busy, you know, pleasing ourselves and running from God. You took that moment and you had the ability to respond, and you just turned to God and your hands up to that window, finally surrendering, because that's what it takes for all of us to find hope and meaning and healing, is to finally turn to God. And we all have that responsibility, but you know, for you, it took going to prison. And so the good new work that he began in you, he allowed that time and that sort of safe haven of prison, which is kind of strange to be, you know, in a good place in prison. But like you said, had you not been in prison, who knows, maybe you would have continued to make wrong choices and turned away from God. And man, I love it. I see God's glory over your life, and his promises have come true. It's been a great conversation. I love your story. I love to see who you are now in Christ, and he's totally changed your life. It's amazing.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate this opportunity. You know, like I said, I've listened to your show. You do an amazing job, and I love how, you know, you invite people to tell their story, but the message is never lost. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, there's literally nothing. Amen. And I really appreciate that about you. And I appreciate your platform, and you'll be in my prayers moving forward. And again, I just really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you, man. Well, let me sign off. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode with Ronnie, and drop a comment down below and let Ronnie know that you love him. If you're just connecting with his story, drop a comment down below, and always remember this, that your story matters, no matter what part of life that you are at, that God is there. You may not feel him, you might not sense him, but his presence is there. If you would do as Ronnie has done and turn to God and surrender over to him. So our prayers will be with you in your journey. And if you have a story and you know that your story is hidden in Christ, and you give him the glory for that story, then share that story. Make that story known. Ask someone if you can share their story, your story with them, or ask someone what their story is. Let's get excited about sharing what God's done in our lives. And until next time, remember, your story matters more than you know.